The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Bob Tharp from Johns Creek, Georgia.
This is Ashley Tharp from Johns Creek, Georgia, and we listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 247 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Dr. McLean, how you doing?
Dr. Scribner-McLean.
Dr. Scribner-McLean, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Awesome.
Are you feisty because the Patriots may or may not have won the Super Bowl yesterday?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's hope they did. We're recording before, so we don't know. But let's hope for your sake and Liam's sake they did. All right. My shout out today is to one of our listeners whose name is Carolyn Kanzler, and she did her longest run ever for the Jeff Galloway 13.1, virtual 13.1, on her 38th birthday. And she said that a year ago her tagline was, "I don't run anywhere unless someone's chasing me." I've heard that before. And so now she's running, so she should be very proud of herself. Congratulations, Carolyn.
Congratulations, Carolyn, and hopefully there's more.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michelle.
Yes, Mike.
I think that you should introduce our guest.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. So we are here to talk about a race that we did not do. We wanted to do. We have race envy. Not that we haven't done our share, but we are going to talk about the inaugural, the one and only Disneyland Star Wars Half Marathon Weekend. And to help us do that, we have our West Coast experts from San Diego, Lee Zimmerman and Laura Gilbreth. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks. Yep. Thanks for having us back.
And you guys deserve some sort of other medal for doing Marathon Weekend and then going out and doing Star Wars, because that's a lot.
There were a lot of people who did that.
Actually. A lot of people on this podcast did that. And again, back again to help us out. He definitely is going to get a bonus this year in his pay, is Eddie McCoy.
Hey, long time no talk to you.
And we also have our friend Mark Lorenzo. And Mark, in addition to being an experienced Run Disney person, is a former Disney Moms panel person. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Hi, Mike, Michelle. Hi, Mickey Milers. You're awesome.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Star Wars. So first of all, I want to ask how your traveling went from Marathon Weekend over to the West Coast. How did you manage it all? Now they went. Oh, no, you're there. Okay.
No, we're there. We're thinking. I mean, we flew home on Monday, worked for 3 days.
Three and a half.
Yeah, the challenge was I had a late Friday meeting. So Laura actually, in a scene out of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, took the train from San Diego up to the Anaheim area because she was afraid I wasn't going to get there either before the expo was completely sold out or maybe even in time to pick up my my number. It turned out I was able to leave work about 2:30. So I just spent 3 hours doing what's normally like an hour and a half drive since I got stuck in Friday traffic. But other than that, it was relatively uneventful for the two of us.
All right. What about Mark?
So doing the dopey, I left Florida on Tuesday morning, and then I had a couple days kind of rest in California. Kind of planned on that. I didn't plan on going on the cruise just because it would be a little too much, and I wanted to do all three races at Star Wars weekends because I was very, very excited about that. So I had some downtime where I rested a little bit. I actually felt good. you know, coming after doing the 48.6 miles, I actually felt really good. So, and I was really looking forward to the Star Wars weekend, because to me, that's just a weekend of fun. You know, those races were shorter. You didn't have the marathon over my head because that marathon's still a bear. So I was really looking forward to the weekend.
Cool.
So let's start off with
Expo.
Mark, did you go to the Expo? What was the Star Wars Half Marathon Weekend Expo like?
So I was really looking forward to the Expo because of the merchandise that was going to be there, because I'm a big Star Wars fan. So I actually got there, I think, at 8:30 in the morning, and it wasn't open till 10. So I got in the merchandise line right away, and they did things a little different this year. They had a queuing line for the merchandise. Instead of in the garage in the basement of Disneyland Hotel, it was actually in the ballroom on the second floor. And they used there was a square pattern carpet, and they used those as the rows, so that instead of taping the rows. So when I got in there, it might have been a quarter full, which wasn't too bad, you know, for 8:30, 9 o'clock. And they actually started bringing us in there. They gave us wristbands, which was unusual, different color for the people that got there first. And I think mine was blue. I think there was two other colors before me. And they actually started bringing people in there into the merchandise about 9 a.m., which was kind of surprising. And they, in that ballroom on the second floor of Disneyland Hotel, they were actually playing a Star Wars movie. I think it was Empire Strikes Back. So while the people were staying there, they waiting in line, they had a chance to watch the Star Wars movie, which was really cool.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and then they walked us down in groups. So each group probably was 50 people. And then we went downstairs, down into the expo floor, and where the speaker series is, that was another little queue line. So they were letting people in, you know, slowly in small groups, so that it wasn't – so I think they've learned things over the races. But, I mean, key is getting there early for the merchandise. So I think I was in there by 10:15. And I was out of there probably by 10:30, and I probably bought way too much. But, you know, having the inaugural Star Wars shirts was pretty cool.
So, Mark, it sounds like the merchandise was very, very well received.
It seemed to be. And it seemed to be that there wasn't as crazy as, like, Dumbo Double Dare, the first one. They seemed to manage it a lot, you know, a lot better. And there wasn't long lines at the registers. So I think they really worked on the flow of things. So, and then, you know, pretty much by noon, some of the stuff had been gone, you know, so some of the shirts and stuff. But they seemed to be restocking stuff, you know, because I went back the next 2 days of the expo. So, but they ran out of a lot of the shirts that were there at the beginning.
Lee and Laura, I know you guys take a more casual approach to the expo since you're usually traveling from some other race or cruise, or yeah. What did you guys do for the expo?
So I got there probably around 4 in the afternoon on Friday, and fortunately I'd had a friend who was able to get the stuff I really, really wanted for me on Thursday morning. So I knew I was gonna have my magnets and my medallion pins, so I was really happy about that. Anyway, so I wandered around, and there was still, most of the merchandise seemed to be there. Now, one of the magnets was sold out, one of the ones that I wanted, the Rebel Challenge, so I was really happy that Jack had picked that up for me. And it's shirts, they still had shirts, but when Lee arrived and we actually went around, we found out that, yeah, the shirts were available if you wanted a small or a medium, but in his case, you know, he wanted a large, and you were out of luck if you wanted something larger than a small or a medium.
So Disney missed out on the opportunity to sell me potentially three more shirts, including, I couldn't even get the I Get It shirt. The only shirt I could get that I wanted. They did a really good job of having what I'll call the race weekend shirt, which they've been having pretty much at all the races now. It was a red cotton shirt, and they had bazillions of them even late on Friday. But the I Did It shirt in the men's, and there was a couple of other shirts that, being a big Star Wars geek, I might have bought. But again, they only had them in small male sizes and medium male sizes, and not even very many of the mediums. So nothing that I'm horribly disappointed over. And since it's not like I don't have an entire closet full of, you know, Disney race gear and didn't collect up three more race shirts, you know, for this race. But I would have spent more money if they hadn't actually run out of stuff or if Mark hadn't bought it all.
Okay. What about you, Eddie?
I got to the expo about 1 o'clock on Friday, and I had similar thing that Lee and Laura experienced with the gear. They were out of all the stuff that you kind of wanted. And I just cannot fathom why they cannot make enough shirts, especially of the things that historically are going to sell well, especially for inaugural races. So I'm just blown away, but that's always the case. But, I bought, there was one magnet and a Coast to Coast shirt. So that was all I walked out of the expo with, but as far as merchandise. But other than that, it was very, it's a smaller, low-key expo. I like it.
Now, I do have to add, I give them credit, and I didn't do a scientific sample, but my impression was there was more unique race-specific clothing for Star Wars than there was for Avengers. So I think there were more options. I mean, there was probably almost 20 different clothing items that you could have gotten if they had it. And I just don't remember that much variety quite for the Avengers weekend.
Yes, I agree with you, Lee.
And I wanted to say what they were also doing. I noticed they were pulling out when they run out of stuff, they were throwing generic Star Wars merchandise in its place.
Yeah, from the Disney store. They were telling me that they were doing that.
All right. Sounds like interesting merchandise.
Sounds like you need issues to get there early for inaugural races.
Yes.
Pretty much. If you want to get stuff, you need to show up there, you know, earlier than the start time of the expo, and you need to get in that line first.
Yeah, which is difficult for those of us who have to work and really don't have that opportunity, but yet we're registered runners in the race, and we don't get a chance at a lot of the merchandise, which is really unfortunate and frustrating.
I really wish they did what Rothreads is doing, which is you can reserve your merchandise and pick it up at the expo.
Wish they would do that.
Yeah,
like an online expo and say, okay, I'm not getting there until, because think of it this way, if they were able to, think how accurate their inventory would be. They wouldn't have to worry about not having enough or having too much. Like Eddie said, you know, it's they're losing out on a revenue stream if they run out of shirts. So having something online gives them an idea, okay, I need to have these many shirts going.
And the thing that I found out over Avengers and this one is their tech shirts nowadays seem to run smaller than they say. So I had to go a size up for their tech shirts for the Star Wars and even the Avengers one. So I don't know why they're just kind of tight.
We just had a podcast earlier where somebody said their tech shirts are running larger.
Oh, really?
So who knows?
I had to try them on. So normally I'm an extra large, but I had to get a double X. So they weren't like form fitting.
Now, Mark, are you talking about the race shirts or the actual shirts you're buying?
The actual tech shirts that you buy.
I agree with that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Not the race shirt.
And
Mark's exactly right, because I've got a large shirt somebody picked up for me, and it is definitely tighter than the other shirts.
Yep. Let's stick with Mark, because as this was an inaugural race weekend, it was also an inaugural event that was held. And it was called, what was it called, Mark? The Wookiee
Welcome Party?
So can you tell us about the Wookiee Welcome Party?
Well, first I have to tell you, I had to take a nap before it, because it's supposed to start at 9:30 at night to 11:30 at night California time. So New York time, that's very, very late into the night. And I was doing the 5K in the morning, next morning, which was very early. So I think I only got like 3 hours sleep that night. So
for anybody listening, just know that Mark is hardcore.
Yeah. I did take a lot of naps, I will tell you that, especially when I got to Disneyland. So this is their first time. It's kind of like a welcome event. It is a paid event, and it was costly, I'll have to say that much. But the reason I did it was because I was going to be there for that, and I really wanted access to some of the Star Wars characters that you normally don't get to see. So the party promised that would be the case. They did start queuing the line. They had to wait till Disneyland was closed, which was 9 o'clock at night, but the line started queuing up for the 9:30 at 8:30. And we were basically, I think I got there at 8:45 and the line was pretty long. So I'm not sure how many people they let into the party, but they did let a whole bunch of them in. It was a hard ticket event. But that whole Escalade, or I think that's what it's called. I think Lee or Laura will tell me. What's that area between California, Disney California Adventure and Disneyland called?
The Esplanade.
Esplanade. So that was basically had a line that was snaking all around that. And they finally let us in about 9:30. So they walked us into Tomorrowland. And the first thing we saw, which was the one of the longest lines, was a real live R2-D2. It was moving, beeping. Things were coming out of his head. And CP3PO that was moving, talking. So it was pretty amazing. And that line was extremely long. We headed right to the Chewbacca line because we really wanted something with him. We ended up waiting 45 minutes to see Chewbacca because he was very popular. So, I mean, that would be one of the downsides of the party is that we spent a lot of time waiting in lines. There was about five rides open, Space Mountain, Buzz Lightyear, the Astro Blasters, and what else? What else is in Tomorrowland? I did ride
Space
Mountain. Star Tours was open, yes. But I only rode Space Mountain, but it was like a walk-on. So we spent a lot of time in line, but, I mean, I had a Chewie Chewbacca shirt on, and he loved that when we finally got up to him. He spent a lot of time. He gave me a bunch of hugs, and so I got a bunch of pictures that I posted on Facebook. They also had Luke and Leia there. The highlight of the night for me, they had some Ewoks that were in the dance party. They had a Jedi kind of spinning it. They had desserts, Darth Vader cupcakes, and they had Chewie or Wookiee cookies. And some type of rum balls, I forgot the name of those, drink, you know, like coffee, tea, things like that. So people weren't majoring on the desserts, they were majoring on the characters. They also had some Disney characters there, like they had Jedi Mickey, Princess Leia, Minnie, Donald, Stormtrooper, Donald, Darth Goofy. So those were the Disney characters that were there. So you could get your pictures taken with them. They kind of had a dance party, but about halfway through the party, four Jawas came up, and they came out, and they were kind of interacting with the crowd. And at the end of the night was the best part. Most people had left by then, but the Jawas were in where the dance party floor is, which is normally where Jedi Training Academy is in Disneyland, and they were taking people, they had a bubble gun. They were running around blowing bubbles. They were hysterical. I mean, they looked so realistic. And then they got a hold of somebody's GoPro and were running around taking pictures with that. And they wanted, if you wanted a picture with them, they wanted you to give them something. I gave them a quarter. They wanted my cell phone, and I wasn't about to give them my cell phone, because what they were doing is taking people's cell phones and taking like 60 pictures. You know, they were running around with the cell phone before they gave it back to the person and taking tons of pictures. So they were very mischievous, but it was so fun. That was kind of the highlight of the party. And at the very end, I got my picture done with CP3PO and R2-D2. So I think one of the other – so those were all positives. The only other negative, I think, besides the long lines, were they weren't managing the lines very good because people were taking individual pictures with the characters, and they were taking multiple pictures. Finally, by the end of the night, they were saying, listen, if you're in a group, you get one picture, you have to have a whole group there. Then the line started moving quickly. So I think that they learned some things about managing those lines, because you never get to see those kind of characters. And one of the other reasons I wanted to do this party is because I didn't really want to stop when I was running, because there's typically long lines for characters, especially ones you don't usually see except for like Star Wars weekends. So overall, it's very positive. I think they can learn a few things, you know, because it was the first time they did it.
I can hear you smiling as you're describing this.
I just love, if you see the pictures of me with the characters on Facebook, it's just crazy.
So Mark, do you remember the cost of this?
I think, I don't remember in all the ratio. I think it was around $100 or $90.
Would you do it again?
I would.
Mm-hmm. And does anybody else have questions? I'm thinking Laura must have questions. No.
Well, I'm very interested in the Disney characters in the Star Wars costume, because I was hoping to see them out during the race, and they weren't.
They were only at the end of the race, which was really, I think there was some legal issues too, similar to Avengers, because I had heard that from somebody from Run Disney had said that, but not as much legal stuff as there was for Avengers. But I don't think they could have both of them on the same course at the same time. But it was nice to be able to get your picture taken with them at the party.
Hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, so, I mean, we heard from somebody else who went, who said for, and I think they said it was 90, that, yeah, the line to get in was long. The lines for characters were long. The food was not that impressive. And it sounds like they didn't have nearly as much fun as you did, but it sounds like hanging out and seeing the Jawas being very much in character.
But that was kind of the end of the party, and most people had left by then because either they were tired or they got discouraged for waiting in the lines. I mean, like I told you, I waited 45 minutes for Chewbacca, and that's a long time out of the party. Out of the 2 hours of the party, I was in line for probably at least more than half of it.
And it sounds like a lot of people didn't get to take advantage of the rides being open and almost nobody there because, again, they were probably in lines to get character photos.
Correct. And it was walk-ons. I mean, you could walk on everything.
As I said,
people were there to see the characters.
As I said, Mark, you are hardcore. I would never wait 45 minutes.
Well, I had a Chewy shirt on, so, I mean, I had to do it.
You had to do it. Yes, of course. Well, it sounds like you had a great time, so it sounds like you got your money's worth for what you wanted to get out of it. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've heard from people who have done these parties is, just as you say, one of the reasons to do it is so you can get your pictures taken there and not have to worry about it on the race course because the lines there are so long. So I think out of everybody, are you the only one who did the 5K?
I believe so, because everybody else was coming in on Friday.
Okay, so why don't you tell us about the 5K?
So I really enjoyed the 5K. This whole weekend was probably the funnest race weekend, if that's a word, that I've ever experienced. You know, not just because it was Star Wars. It just seemed a little more laid back. And you know, the races in Disneyland, they don't start, even though they start at 5:30. I mean, there was people... It's 5:15 and there's people just starting to walk to the corrals, you know, because there's not as many people.
Which is about like a 5-minute walk, right?
Well, no, this time it was a little bit different. And I'm sure everybody will talk about that because I was a little confused. So I actually checked a bag. So they have a pre-race area, which is the finish line. It has the porta potties. And typically most races the two races that I've been there, Avengers and Dumbo Double Dare, you went out the back corner of it and right into the corrals. But the corrals were over by Paradise Pier, so it was quite a hike. So they took you down by the Disneyland Hotel, then through a couple parking lots to finally... I had to ask people where to go because I didn't know. So I think it was like that for all the three races. So that was a little confusing, but I was in the pre-race
area. I found it confusing also. And, yeah. Of course, I've done all the Disneyland races, and I found it confusing. So I can understand somebody who isn't as familiar having an issue with it.
Have they ever used that one for the like Tinkerbell or?
Well, Tinkerbell starts going north also, but Tinkerbell's staging area is in that parking lot by the Paradise Pier. So you come out, and boom, there's the corrals.
Okay, so we were down way down by Paradise Pier, and some of the corrals were actually right next to the Grand California Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Laura, what do you think the reason for this change was?
Well, I think part of it is that the area there by Disneyland is bigger. It's a larger staging area for it than it is down by the Paradise Pier. But it was just kind of odd and not what I was expecting, because we had a hard time when we came out for the 10K, because we were staying at the Grand California, and so we came out the the Paradise Pier, and we were at the corrals, and we were trying to find where the pre-race area was, which, of course, was way north, so we ended up having to go back through downtown Disney to get there, and it was very strange.
Yeah, the good news was if you didn't need to go check a bag and weren't really worried about going to the pre-race area, the first thing you came to was the corral, so it was very direct, but there weren't any restrooms or anything out there, so it's hard to imagine that there was a lot of people that were taking advantage of the fact that that was what they came to initially.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people didn't check bags, and I didn't for the next two races just because it was seemed like it was harder to get back. It was a lot more walking. But the 5K race was, I was actually in Corral A. That's, I think it's the first time I've ever been in that corral. So I was really close to Rudy and Carissa, and I actually did a video of them. And they had R2-D2 and CP3-0 right out there at the beginning of the race, which was really cool. It was a great race. Most of it was inside, you know, all of it was inside Disneyland and California Adventure. There was a lot of, like Lee and Laura talked about in the pre-show for Star Wars, there's a lot that was run backstage, so you got to see kind of the, you know, all the maintenance areas and staging areas and stuff like that. So, but it was a really cool race. I think there was like five or six characters on it. I don't particularly remember the order, but I remember Chewbacca was out there, Darth Vader and Stormtroopers. Pretty much the standard characters. I didn't see any real like crazy characters that you never see.
Mark, how would you compare this 5K to other Disneyland 5Ks in terms of course, characters, and crowd?
I thought the crowd was really light. The course is really good, but you don't run through the castle. Kind of run around it through to Tomorrowland. I did like seeing some of the backstage areas that I'd never seen before, but I ended up seeing them two more times because they were similar courses, the other ones through Disneyland. Some things I missed were like World of Color was down, so you know you didn't even run close to there. We didn't actually run through Cars Land a little bit, like on the edge of it, but we didn't like do like some of the other races. But I thought the character stops were great. I didn't stop, but I just noticed what characters were there, and it seemed to be fast and not very crowded.
Now, maybe early in the race, not later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Forgive me if you've already mentioned this. Where was the start for the 5K?
The same place for the right by along California, Grand Californian. Paradise Pier was the beginning of the corrals, and then they lined up, and you kind of does a dip and goes under a bridge. So they had these two big LED TVs where they projected everything.
Okay. How about the medallion, the finisher medallion?
I liked, so the shirt for this race was really cool because it was kind of a yellow shirt with CP3-0, and actually I really liked that shirt. Medallion's a rubber one, but I like it because it had R2-D2 and CP3-0 on it. So I wish they would make those metal, you know, because I could, that way you can hang them with your other metal ones. But yeah, it was a really good race. It was over fast. I mean, it was a good experience. I'm glad I did it.
Awesome. Join us for episode 248 of the Mickey Miles podcast as we continue with our review of the 2015 inaugural Disneyland Star Wars Race Weekend.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.